When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences with fewer people and more of, well, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at avalonwaterways.com.
I am the ferryman. The human spirit is my business. Their madness, their passion. The wonderful and monstrous ways they burn out their brief candle.
I regret to tell you that very many American lives have been lost.
He's right.
Was heard to shout from the car, "He's dead." Whether he referred to President Kennedy or not is not yet known.
In 3 or 4 hours, people must get up and go
to identification.
Just as all the wonderful nights
started
free from the rubble.
I am here in the in-between to collect their spirits and carry them to what comes next. This road is not on any map. It spans the thresholds between their most forbidden desires and their greatest fear. All I ask for in payment is a tale, an accounting of their lives in the great temporary that is the land of the living. These are their stories. This is the passage. Brother Island. I've visited this place often over the years. It's a tiny little stone beside Hellgate, the strait that sunk 1,000 ships. I've fished out many a sailor from its depths, just as I have plucked souls by the handful from this parcel of land. Just up on the hill here sits a Riverside Hospital, the place of the very last resort for the plague-ridden. Castaways from the great island of Manhattan. Amidst the smallpox and consumption, I spot a little bright pinprick. A soul burning hotter than most I've picked up. There, at the entrance to the hospital, she has risen from her sickbed and has moved down the stairs and into the pale November sunlight. Mary Mallon. But the world will come to know her by a different name. Born so far from here in a land so much greener. She made her first passage decades ago, across the cold North Atlantic into New York City, at a time when the Irish were viewed as no better than the body lice they picked up in steerage. She was 15 and alone in the hardscrabble filth of New York City. Many did not survive those first hard years, but she did. She fought and scraped, and when she was told that she carried Salmonella typhi, which had killed so many before her, she forged ahead anyway, taking the disease with her from house to house, and finally earned the name Typhoid Mary.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
See new things. Try new things. Go back centuries while living in the moment. Forge new paths while discovering old ones. Pedal, paddle, and paint while trekking, tasting, and tailoring experiences that transform you into a better version of yourself. Immerse yourself in the world by activating your mind, your heart, and your body on a river cruise exclusively from Avalon Waterways. Save with limited time offers at avalonwaterways.com. Avalon is cruising. Elevated.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Hello.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph! You!
Mary.
Oh. I sensed you before I even closed my eyes. I knew you were coming for me. And somehow, you surprised me.
That is never my intention.
And yet.
And yet. It is time. Walk with me to the shore.
If I must. It's not cold. I always expected the cold.
None of that here.
Do you have a name?
You can call me the ferryman, if you wish.
Ah, sure. Ferryman. Feels like the whole of my life has been packed to the gills with ferryman of one sort or another. Whether I wanted to go with him or not, I went. I don't suppose I have a choice in this matter either.
Everyone must go eventually.
Sure. Just another wheel turning, eh? The great wheel of life carries you to the great wheel of death. And still it turns. What's next? On the other shore?
That will all depend.
On what? My actions in life? My morals? Or your morals? Whose fucking morals? else am I beholden to? The churches? They can all drain in the river as far as I'm concerned. Nay, I'll not be accepting their autarcy anymore. Jesus Christ himself can get an earful from me on that account.
Yeah, the church has very little to do with the afterlife.
That's a comfort at least. Well, I'll be. It's an actual boat.
Well, you're surprised. I'm a ferryman.
I thought it'd be more of a, metaphor. But here I am, getting on an honest-to-God boat to carry me on. Oh, you know, I didn't want to make that first voyage. I'd loved my home. I'd loved my mother, even my father, drunkard he was a good man. He just couldn't ever quite get it right. Every opportunity dead in his hands. But that was almost everyone in the old country in those days. Struggle and toil, and come up short. There wasn't enough work, and the work, when it came, didn't pay enough. So, men drank. Women drank. Everyone drank. A shadow over everything. A shadow that I would come to recognize. I was sent away because my mother thought I'd follow in his path if I stayed. And who knows? Sometimes I think I'd have made a spectacular drunkard. I've the temperament for it, to be sure. So they sent me to my aunt and uncle, who'd made a go of it in New York. I remember saying goodbye to my mother. She wept. She said that one day she'd join me. Last I saw of her, she was standing on the docks as me ship pulled off. She didn't wave. She just stood there, handkerchief held up over her mouth as if she were trying to stifle a scream. It was the last time I saw her. The voyage was long and difficult. The quarters stank of shit and vomit and the sour stench of fear that grew all the more potent when the seas were rough, which they were often. Every face grain, every body carrying a shadow above it. I would often spend days walking the decks, flirting with the sailors, just to avoid the animal filth below, which permeated everything. Despite the conditions, though, in every eye, there was hope. Even in the oldest, the most downtrodden, those poor fools clearly marked for death, that hope. It trumped through the storms and stench, beat out even the heart sickness that comes with leaving home forever. Even I fell prey to it, young and terrified as I was. It is the vilest thing, hope. It survives until the bitter end and is passed on to strangle the next generation. Hell, I carry it with me even now. Although I think I know what waits for me on the other shore. It was in the belly of that ship on the great voyage that I first saw him. An illness had passed through steerage, a fever, people emptying their guts into the latrines, buckets, whatever was at hand. I had secured a bunk in the corner, and there I lay, young and alone, sicker than I'd ever been, believing that you were coming for me. And I thought, ferryman, that it was you yourself that I saw standing amidst the sick and dying on the voyage one night, with hollow eyes gazing at me across the wet of the room. My eyes too blurred with exhaustion to see clearly. But it wasn't, was it? It was a different specter with different purposes. I blinked to clear my vision and he was gone. And after a few days, the illness left me. We made it across. I remember seeing it for the first time. The skyline. So vast. Oh, so great. I was terrified. The start of the rest of my life. My aunt and uncle were kind, decent people, but they couldn't afford to keep me on their meagre wages. And so I was sent to work immediately in the immense filth of New York City. It was the laundry first. So many poor girls boiling the flesh on their arms. So many growing thin and frail with too much labour and too little food. It was hot, wet, miserable. We worked in the closest of quarters. When the last girl was in each morning, they locked the doors from the outside to make sure we didn't walk out before the day's labour was done. At the time, I was concerned mostly with the state of my hands, which were chopped and sore with all the hot water and harsh soap, and the state of my back, which protested even when I lay down at night. I was concerned with the little rest I got on the small cot in my aunt's kitchen, and I was concerned with the shadow that I caught following me. All the way from the boat, who I caught occasionally in the corner of my eyes, but who eluded me when I turned to look him straight on. Somewhere in my bones, I had a sense of what he was. But I was young. I did not know its name. But I saw him head on soon enough. It was 7 months into my work at the laundry. Late into the afternoon. It was July, and though we opened the windows, there was no relief from the sweltering heat that consumed us. In that sort of heat, it wasn't unusual for a girl or two to drop, to need to be fanned and given water and a short rest before returning to the soup. I myself felt the telltale flutter behind my eyes, the tunnel vision that came from the heat exhaustion. I was stepping back from the hot water to catch a breath when Sally Boyle went headlong into her tub. The girls working beside her stood for a moment, blinking stupidly, trying to make sense of Sally's face dying in the scalding water. I had to push one of them out of the way and reach into the water to pull her out. Shouted the others to make room, tried to get her to cough up the water. Her face looked a fright. Beet red from the hot water, snot and tears mingling with the suds. I slapped her across the face to wake her, but she wouldn't entirely come to. By this time, our foreman, Mr. Moses, had come out of his office and seen the whole mess. He shouted at us all to get back to work and grabbed a man off the street to help him cart poor Sally home. I watched him go, and it was then that I finally saw the shadow head on, hanging quietly in the vestibule by the door to the alley where they carried the poor drowned girl out. Hungry eyes that watched Sally go and then turned back to the rest of us, staring with those eyes. I blinked and he was gone. Sally never came back. We heard through her sister that she came down with pneumonia from the water in her lungs. And days later, she passed. I was lucky, you know. Though I toiled as hard as the next girl, I had prospects. My aunt was a cook for a well-off family, and she promised that after a little training, she'd help me find similar work. And so, during the days, I returned to that horrible hot warehouse to wash hotel sheets under the watchful eye of Mr. Moses. And at night, my aunt took the time to teach me how to cook, using ingredients pilfered from wealthier kitchens. Though I toiled, I felt that dreadful hope. After a few months more, I was introduced to a young man in finance who had just married and bought a home, and he was in need of a cook. And so I took leave of my aunt and uncle's home, of that laundry, with that thin, horrible shadow with the hungry eyes. And I moved uptown into the servant quarters of the home of Mr. Bryant. The hours were long still, but I had a room in the cellar that I shared with the housekeeper, Miss Nevins. It was a fine job that ended all too soon when the family fell ill. Miss Nevins thought it influenza, but I knew different. You see, I saw him in the kitchen one morning. The thin shadow. Just a flicker on a too early morning when my bones ached from the week's work. As I ate stale bread with my morning tea while the oven fire caught, he was just looking at me with those hungry eyes. My blood ran cold as I stood to confront him. But he was gone as quickly as he'd appeared. The next morning, the family was ill. A terrible wasting sort of illness. Each of them with a terrible rash on their necks. None of them able to keep down even the water they sipped drop by drop. I saw Mrs. Bryant one morning. The maid was ill herself, so it was up to me to bring the mistress her hot beef broth and soda crackers. That was to be her sole nourishment. She was a sturdy woman by all accounts, but she lay there on the bed, skeletal, as if her guts had been pulled from her by the illness. She didn't thank me when I dropped the tray, just looked at me with uncomprehending eyes. I'd seen it before, in the boat. I'd felt it, the gnawing inside. It was horrible. I couldn't bear to look at it from the outside. I was so shaken that I walked out of the house that day and did not return. And so it was back to my aunt's house. For better or worse, there's no lack of jobs in New York City. Miss Nevins, a kind soul, referred me to another family. I made the move again. And again, almost as quickly as it had begun, I saw the shadow man in the corner of the kitchen, and another family fell ill. I was cursed. This shadow had followed me from my father's home and across the ocean into the guts of New York City. But what was I to do? I found a family in Long Island looking for a cook. I moved in. They fell ill. I left. And another family on the North Shore, the same, again and again. I prayed. I pleaded with the shadow whenever I caught a glimpse, cajoled and bargained, leave me. I beg. In this way did the years pass. I'd gone through a dozen wealthy families. All of them fell ill. Few of whom ever spoke to me except to give instructions anyway. Or sometimes for the husband or the butler to make advances, to corner me in the kitchen while the rest of the house staff was about their business. It wasn't any different than at the laundry, where Mr. Moses got handsy with the girls, or from the factories, the farms, anywhere a girl could find gainful employment. And what choice was I given but to bear it? Such is the state of the world. It was in a Park Avenue mansion that Mr. Soper found me. He'd been hired by a family in Oyster Bay to discover why they'd fallen ill, and his trail led him from house to house until he found me. He was not unkind. He explained the situation. It's typhoid fever. We don't know why it hasn't made you ill, but it's getting past to the families you cook for. He asked me to go with him. I was too tired to argue. And so he brought me to North Brother Island for the first time. I'd never been to a sanitarium. There was no work to do. Nothing to fill all the empty hours except talk to the sick, which was nearly everyone there. At first, it was refreshing. I had worked my entire life, and here was a sort of endless holiday. In the spring, I would go and sit by the water and feel the wind cut through me. In the summer, I would even swim a little. But at night, I'd see my shadow watching, and I'd wait to see if his hungry eyes would mean doom. Oh, sure, the sick would die, but it was whatever they'd brought in with him that did him in. It had nothing to do with me. He watched over all of us, poor and infirm. He seemed to mean no harm. So, I grew accustomed to my shoddy man. He became sort of a companion with his sad, hungry eyes. I was there on the island for 3 years the first time. For all their prodding, the doctors couldn't figure out what to make of me. And so they decided to set me loose with one terrible condition. I was never to cook again. And so there I was, a middle-aged woman with no prospects, no family left. My aunt and uncle had long since passed. I went back to the laundry. It was the same as when I'd left it, for the most part. Mr. Moses had given way to another overseer, Mr. Roberts, who was younger, crueler. The girls struggled terribly under his yoke, and he took advantage. You'd see it when a girl was called up to his office and didn't return for a while. The look in her eyes when she came back to the soup. And one day, it was me getting called to the office. Oh, the young overseer had no interest in me, of course. I was just another grey worker to him. But I sat down in his office with its steamy windows and poor light. And he began to ask questions of me about the girls. If they whispered things to each other, to me. He wished to cut out any rumours, to rip them out by the roots, to let go into the wild world any girl that would speak against him. It was then, finally, that I saw the true foe. At first, he felt a trick of the light. I thought I'd seen my poor, impoverished shoddy man there. But looking into the dark corner, there was something different. The darkness felt more slippery in that room. In it, I saw a sort of writhing, slithering. The cool shadow cast by Mr. Roberts' body revealed to me for the first time the great behemoth of greed. His massive roots draining the land, his great hungry mouth yawning open, his eyes sharp and feral. It was he who animated Mr. Roberts. He who had animated the Sterlings and the Joneses and Mr. Moses before them. That serpentine line of the rich and powerful. It was not my own lesser shadow, poverty, with his dull, sad eyes and broken grimace. He who had forced me to be strong, who made my tendons stand out on my neck and sculpted the ropey muscles in my arms and back. He had been an unwelcome companion, to be sure, but he was not my enemy. None of the miseries I endured, that any of the girls endured. The misery that stalked my parents and the peasants that crossed the Atlantic with me. None of it was necessary for the world to continue on. Why, there was enough food in the city to feed us all, enough housing to shelter all of us. Why, we produced enough to make all the world comfortable. But you keep the likes of the Mr. Moses and the Bryants and Roberts of this world to feed that behemoth in the shadows, greedy and vile. They needed us. They needed our backs broken to suck the marrow from them. I would not. I would not anymore. I stood from my chair, never taking my eyes off the hideous shadow sucking at the edges of the light. My true enemy. I marched out of Mr. Roberts' office, marched into the street, and that very day, I find myself answering an ad for a cook. I would no longer be tormented by my lot. If I couldn't improve it, I would become an avenging angel. And so I return to the kitchen. There, I find myself over dinner preparations for the wealthy again. And with every meal, I would cough into my hand. And with that hand, I would cook. I'd caress every roast, dig my fingers into the puddings, touch every carrot and potato on the plate. If anyone in the kitchen had any objection, they did not speak it. Instead, watching my every move. They knew. They all knew what I was, even though they may not have the language to speak my name. And it was not their duty to stop the great work, to pull the roots of the great greedy demon that ran all of our lives one by one, to sicken its mouth, to lay waste to its agents one by one, family by family, as long as I lived with the sickness in my body. If not by lead, by bread. Do I wish it were otherwise? Of course. I wish I'd been able to stay back home with my ma and that we were comfortable and that I could live a comfortable life. I wish I'd come to America and could be swept off my feet by a handsome young lad. I wish I'd been paid fairly enough to forge my own way in this filthy land of opportunity. But this land isn't built for one such as I to succeed in. Those who have will continue to have, and their children will have more. And after they've had all they can eat, simply hoard the rest of the food and dole it out in little bites to the rest of us. Make us fight over it and use us to grind at the wheels of their industry until we are dust. I've seen their true face. I've watched it slither in the darkness. And with my hands, I did what I could to destroy it. I don't regret doing what I did. What? Here already? I can't see beyond the dock to the land. The fog is so thick. Where are we?
At our destination.
Ah. Is it heaven or hell?
That is for you to find out alone.
Oh, beautiful. And what if I don't go?
Well, you can stay on the dock if you wish, but nothing'll happen. You just wait and wait until you make the decision to continue.
Sorry, I've got at least that much control of the situation.
May you be a half an hour in heaven before the devil knows you're late.
Oh. I don't know who will be there to hear me when I walk out, so I'll say it to you. If it's hell I'm walking into, I'll walk into it with my head held high, with my shadow man proudly on my elbow. And woe unto them who believe that Mary Mallon will ever be under their control. Fare thee well, ferryman. I pray you carry a million more like me in your time. The poor need their vengeance.
She made the great voyage, like so many before her, like so many who came after, all of whom were sold a bill of fare. America the bountiful, the land of opportunity, where the streets are paved with gold and where anyone can succeed. She was met with the same hard reality as anyone else. Toil, hunger. Though she suffered, she did not suffer alone. Instead, here, she made herself a legend. And so she marches on to whatever lies ahead, secure in her knowledge that she did not sacrifice herself entirely to the behemoth. I wish her well on her passage.
The Passage stars Dan Fogler as the ferryman. This episode features Teresa McLaughlin as Typhoid Mary, written by Nicholas Tikoski. Our executive producers are Nicholas Tikoski, Matthew Frederick, and Alexander Williams. First Assistant Director, Script Supervisor, and Production Coordinator, Sarah Klein. Music by Ben Lovett. Additional music by Alexander Rodriguez. Casting by Sunday Bowling Kennedy and Meg Mormon. Editing and sound design by Dan Bush. Dialogue editing and sound mixing by Juan Campos. Additional sound editing by Racket Sound. Our supervising producer is Josh Thane. Created by Dan Bush and Nicholas Tikoski. Produced by Dan Bush. The Passage is a production of iHeartRadio and Psychopia Pictures.
Yeah, better dunk my hands in the river Styx here and scrub them down. That'll kill any kind of bacteria.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
See new things. Try new things. Go back centuries while living in the moment. Forge new paths while discovering old ones. Pedal, paddle, and paint while trekking, tasting, and tailoring experiences that transform you into a better version of yourself. Immerse yourself in the world by activating your mind, your heart, and your body on a river cruise exclusively from Avalon Waterways. Save with limited time offers at AvalonWaterways.com. Avalon is cruising. Elevated.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies to steal a moment for yourself before the week ahead. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.